How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 183 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Thorin Transcripts. I'm Fred Katz, and this is Tim McMahon from ESPN. The Thunder just beat who'd they beat? Where are we?
We are in Minnesota. The Thunder, or at least the ones who suited up, beat the Timberwolves, who are a talented young team that sure does tend to find ways to lose.
Unbelievable. They lose in every way possible. They lost on that D'Angelo Russell buzzer beater the other day, blowing that lead to the Lakers. It's like when they get double-digit leads, they can't hold on to them. Today, the Thunder let go of the double-digit lead. Oladipo hit a game winner. They won 100-98 in Minnesota. Nothing to take away from this, right?
Not a whole lot. You know, nice moment for Oladipo to be able to hit the game winner. You can talk about guys who don't necessarily get a lot of playing time, played pretty well. You know, Kyle Singer, yeah. But nobody gives a crap about this game. If we're being just brutally honest, this is not one that requires much analysis. But, man, what a hell of a road trip. What a wild-ass, entertaining, Russ record-breaking road trip. We had plenty of entertainment on this trip before this kind of yawner.
You're new here. This is just kind of the norm when you're around this team.
I know. Those 50-point record-breaking triple-doubles. The 36-foot buzzer beaters. Sure, that's totally normal. Totally normal for a freaking guy to hit a 36-foot buzzer beater to eliminate a team from playoff contention and get the opposing crowd to give him a standing ovation at the buzzer.
That was the weirdest part.
The previous game was even weirder.
Phoenix?
How about Phoenix? Okay, let's count the weirds there. Number one, the Suns had lost 13 straight. They're tanking, and they beat the crap out of the Thunder. Strange. But really, we entered the twilight zone in the fourth quarter of that game. Right?
The crowd was the weirdest. It was the weirdest crowd of any game I've ever been to. Here's why the Denver crowd was weird. The Phoenix crowd at least was assertive about what it wanted. Like, it was very clear the Phoenix crowd wanted Russell Westbrook to get a triple-double in any way possible.
They wanted history.
Right. They were clear with their priorities. The Denver crowd was cheering for Westbrook and giving him, like, standing ovations and then literally going back between that and doing Let's Go Nuggets chants. So, like, it was a completely bipolar crowd. Like, it was like they had no idea what in the world they were watching. That's why the Denver crowd was weird, too. Like, it was a different kind of weird.
But then the Phoenix and Russ, whether he will admit it or not, the Suns' accusations that he was hunting assists for a triple-double were obviously accurate.
Yeah.
They're not leaving shooters. They're totally altering their defensive game plan to make sure he didn't get the record there. The fans are booing their guys for fouling. They booed Steven Adams for not jacking up a three off a Russ pass. Steven Adams is 0-for-4 from three-point range in his career. Such a bizarre scene. But you know what? Thank goodness Russ didn't get the record in that game, because that would have been a really crappy way to break a 55-year-old record, to pass Oscar Robertson. You could not have scripted a cooler way for him to do it a couple nights later in Denver. I mean, first of all, okay, you get the record. Now, all right, 4:17 left, your team's down 10, you got a standing ovation on the road, you know, your seeds are locked in. Okay, you know, Russ could have taken the curtain call and called it a road trip, right? Maybe even a regular season. What's he do? Oh, okay, from that point, he scores 15 straight points and wraps it up with a 36-footer to give him 50 for the game and win at the buzzer. There's certain regular season games you never, ever forget. I would say precious few. That will be one of them.
Yeah, that was incredible. That was – it's funny because he had the Dallas game, which you were at the Dallas game, right?
No, I was bouncing between Houston and San Antonio at the time.
Okay, so you missed that one. But the Dallas game was – when the Dallas game happened, like everybody basically said, no way. No way he can top that.
Right,
going
right
to
Mark
that?
Cuban's lap, too. Yeah. You know, I wonder if Cuban thinks he's a superstar yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, no way he can top that, right?
Until the next game.
Right. And literally the next game, he does the Orlando game, and he tops it because they're down 21. And just, do you know what his numbers were after halftime in that game?
Horrendous, but you tell me.
36, 9, and 7 with no turnovers after halftime.
Oh, I thought you meant at halftime. Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. He follows that up with the highest scoring triple-double in NBA history. By the way, we started this road trip, or at least I did. You didn't ever make it to Memphis, but that's neither here nor there, which is kind of where your luggage is at this point.
No, my luggage, I'm told, is in Oklahoma City.
Until I get sources to confirm that, I will not believe it. But seriously, Russ started this road trip with a crazy – I mean, the dude went 45, 10 assists, quote-unquote, only 9 rebounds – I forgot what, scored like 11 of the last 13 points to close the door on the group. I mean, that was an unbelievable performance. Such a crazy season, though, that the guy goes 45, 9, and 10, and folks leave disappointed, right? You know? I mean, what in the world?
45, 9, and 10, and, like, hits, like, huge threes down the stretch.
Yes.
Like, major clutch threes.
Cajon Ace swinging threes.
Well, it's like the Steven Adams quote. Steven, we're coming up on the anniversary of my favorite Steven Adams quote ever.
Tell it.
Enes Kanter went 12 of 13 today, Steven. What'd you think of that? He's swinging at the knees.
Hey, Russ is swinging at the ankles. All right.
He's got rug burn. I have one takeaway from tonight.
Okay.
Stylistically.
You have one Thunder takeaway.
Yeah, one Thunder takeaway from tonight. Stylistically, I thought it was interesting the way Sabonis played. He hasn't played like that assertively with the ball in a really long time because they haven't really given him the opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. And he was at least like dribbling the ball. He kicked the guys in the shooter, like in the corner a couple times. And like I think he's going to be a good player. I see why the Thunder like him and why they think there are a lot of guys in the organization in the Thunder who are like really high on him, who think he's going to be a really, really good power forward. And it's a part because they think he's a good passer. He's better than he's shown. And he's going to raise that 3-point percentage. And you kind of saw like stylistically what that was tonight. He made some good passes into the corner. He made some good decisions with the ball. He got a little overzealous on that, you know, the one I'm talking about, the fast break move where he tried to go behind the back. And then Rubio just, like, took the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he tried some things where he hasn't necessarily tried before. And I kind of thought that was interesting seeing him in that setting.
You know, he has the potential to be a power forward who fits really well with Russ because he has the potential to be a stretch four who can kind of be a secondary playmaker. Like, you're not going to run stuff for him to create. But if he's knocking down the three – then you've got a closeout on him, and then he can kind of put it on the floor. And so, you know, Russ, obviously, as great a playmaker as he is, you know, you need shooting around him, and you need guys who, if they end up with a ball, late shot clock can create a little something, right?
Right, and
I think he has that potential.
I think he also has potential where he might be able to create a little bit out of pick and rolls too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you find him on like that short roll or something like that, like not as high quality as Draymond, but that same kind of way, you find him on the short roll. He's around the free throw line. Maybe he can find a guy in the corner.
If teams are trapping Russ to get the ball out of his hands and basically forcing that pass, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a guy who like those mini half court four and threes. Like maybe in 3 years, that's something he's able to handle because they really like his passing ability, and they think he's going to be – that organization is really high on him. They think he's going to be really good. So he's struggled in the second half of the season. I think he struggled a little bit with his confidence in the second half of the season. He passes up a lot of open shots. Tonight might be a little bit good for that if he is able – because it was his best game in a while.
Well, it was his best game in a while, and honestly, it's probably a good time for him to have that. I think Russ's record quest, I guess maybe you can call it, It was pretty tough on Sabonis. I mean, you know, when he misses the wide open jumper, when he missed the little, what, 8-foot floater in the lane and the whole crowd's groaning, you know, you could just tell he was almost like, please don't give me the ball. I don't want the ball here. So for him to come out tonight, obviously the record's done and over with. Russ wasn't even playing. And to be able to play free, you know, maybe it's something that can get him going and see. Because, you know, hey, if they're going to pull off an upset in the first round, they need something they haven't had consistently all season. And if it's Sabonis, you know, just kind of, I don't want to say having breakout performances, but, you know, if it's Sabonis giving them another scoring threat, you know, maybe that's it.
So the Thunder rested a bunch of guys in this game. Rested Russell Westbrook, rested Taj Gibson, rested Andre Roberson. McDermott's not even with the team. Mm-hmm. He's got the sore left knee. He's back in Oklahoma City. How would you go about – they got the final game of the season Wednesday night against Denver at home. What would you do about rest in that game? Because I think there's a possibility they sit – I think Westbrook's going to play. He's just going to play limited minutes. I think I don't know what's going to end up happening with Roberson because he's kind of had a sore knee also. And yeah, they got to get him healthy if they're going to – he's going to be guarding Harden for 4 to 7 games. They got to get him healthy. I could see Steven Adams sitting, though. Mm-hmm. I could see Oladipo sitting. Those guys played not a ton of minutes or anything. They were like – Adams was in the 20s or something like that. But it's a legitimate amount of minutes, and I could see them sitting second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, and, you know, Roberson, I actually originally in my story had him sitting with a sore knee, and the Thunder PR staff, which is a hell of a lot better than Grantland claimed they were, just tell you that right now. But, you know, they could have said, no, hey, it's not knee soreness. This is just rest. This is not related. So, you know, they say his knee's feeling okay. But I just like Billy Donovan basically said, the way I do it is I say, hey, guys, how you feeling? What do you want to do? You know, do you want to get out there and play 15, 20 minutes and get a little rhythm going? You know, feel like you got a little rhythm going into this, into the playoffs? You just want to sit? I mean, I leave that up to the individual players, obviously in consultation with their medical staff. But I do think Russ is a guy, he probably wants to keep his rhythm. You know, he still came out and did his normal pregame routine. By the way, that corner three, little out-of-bounds corner three, hit it on his first try tonight, you know. But
could have missed out on a great rest night.
Yeah, that's right. So I just leave it up to them, and I would think Russ would probably want to play 15, 20 minutes just to get a sweat going.
I wonder if he cares that there were two games left and he's only 40 points away from KD's record for most franchise record for most points in a season. I wonder if he cares. I have no idea if he will. If he does, he obviously says that he would say it's not even worth asking. He would.
Oh yes, it is only for the look that it would generate, and I bet you it would generate. Damn it, I should ask that. That's a great question.
Yeah,
actually, I tried to talk to Russ tonight, and you can imagine how my request for a one-on-one interview after a game he didn't play was received. Actually, that's not true. He smiled when he declined it.
There you go.
And laughed at me, I think. But that's interesting. I would say if he cared that much, he would have played tonight.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's probably true. Because if he really wanted to play,
yeah,
he'd play.
I mean,
that's the way
Billy said
works.
As much. Like, ultimately, the decision was up to him. And, you know, for Russ, I think it was smart to sit him tonight, though, because not only is it the physical toll of playing 80 games with the intensity and burden that he plays with, but, you know, there's, I'm sure, a mental strain to the kind of spotlight that he's been in. You know, I think, you know, that might have been part of what his off night in Phoenix was about. But, I mean, he's had as intense a spotlight on him, especially over the last month, that any player in this league is at. I mean, he's been the most scrutinized player in the NBA this season, and I don't think it's close.
I wonder, he might be right now, like at this point, not adjusting for like social media era. Like he might be the most covered at this might be the most covered season of all time, considering how much more media there is today than there was in like 1996 with Michael Jordan. And all the publicity and all the social media and all the different outlets,
yeah,
and all
the
blogs.
I will say the only thing is he is not in a major media market. No disrespect to you bumpkins in OKC. but there's only a few of you bumpkins. There's not. It's not like he's in a. I mean, the Warriors now. Good heavens, that is
the amount of media there. Let me rephrase. The most written about, the most discussed.
Perhaps.
Because you're obviously. What, the Warriors, they get so much media there.
And I'm still going to say no. LeBron, his first season in Miami.
Yeah, that's a good one.
LeBron, his first season in Miami, because that was, and hell, maybe even his first season back in Cleveland. But, I mean, LeBron is, I would have to go LeBron. But, no, I mean, there's no question. Russ is, I do believe, as polarizing as any player in the NBA right now, as electrifying as any player in the NBA, and damn sure as productive as any player in the NBA.
Got anything else before we go?
I'm just hoping to get your luggage because I think you've worn that shirt all four games. Oh no, that's right. You only made three games.
I think that's
a three-peat for that shirt.
This is only a repeat. This is only a repeat. I wore a I wore a blue checkered shirt that I bought before. This is my repeat. But I've worn it for probably like a total of I've worn it for like a total of like 40 hours probably.
You are a one of a kind, Mr. Katz. Thank God for that.
I haven't had luggage for a week.
Shout out to Delta. Hey, Delta, you're lucky United pulled that doctor off the plane and bashed his head, because what you've done to Fred Katz deserves, I mean, to be a national outrage in itself.
All right, if you want to subscribe to Locked On Thunder, you can do it on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter, at Fred Katz. Questions, comments, hit me up there, or email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You're what do you want on Twitter?
At ESPN underscore McMahon.
MacMahon.
Fred can spell.
Yes, I can. Well, there are other ways to spell McMahon.
True. So. Wrong ways.
You're the definitive McMahon way.
Absolutely.
There we go. That's going to do it from here. Tomorrow they do play Denver to close out the season for Wednesday night. I don't think I'm going to be wrapping up that game after the game. I think I normally do. I think I'm just – because honestly, who cares about that game? I think I'm just going to do like an awards podcast going through all my hypothetical – ballot, which I don't have, and going through all of that. So I think I'm just going to record that Wednesday during the day. And you know what? I need sleep, so I'm not staying up late to podcast after the game. And then Friday morning's podcast is obviously going to be a Houston Thunder playoff preview, which I hope people will listen to. I don't know why anyone listens to this anyway. But that is going to do it today. I'll see you tomorrow.
Pump yourself up at the end.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Most of the time, this is just me talking to myself. So that's going to do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Award stuff. Bye, guys.